Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out, dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
But I am king.
Oh, king, I very not.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game, reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. And a lot to get to this week, including later on the show, we'll be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game at the caller line of 415-523-4652. That is for the ticket line later on the show. If you want to talk Dubs with Saint Nye, that's 888-957-9570, and a lot to get to with how well the Warriors are playing. But I do want to start with a non-Warrior tidbit, Gary, because Junior Bridgman, a guy you coached with the Milwaukee Bucks in the 80s, passed away, suffered a medical emergency earlier this afternoon. The Courier report, I'm reading something from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel right now, at a fundraiser in Louisville, he passed away. The Bucks sent out a statement offering their condolences. And Gary, I know you coached him, and we've talked about him on Warriors Roundtable before. You're talking about one of your former players owning 100 Wendy's. This was the guy, Junior Bridgman. So just wanted to get your thoughts on Junior.
Well, Kev, in your career in the NBA, you're going to win some games. You're going to lose some games. I always say it's about the people along the way. And I was with Junior for 7 years in Milwaukee. And it just a class act. I would compare him to like a Harrison Barnes. Not in a effusive kind of guy, but a wonderful warm smile. Really bright. And I told you the story about, he was getting toward the end, he and Quinn Buckner. And Wayne Embry was like a mentor to those guys, and he played with Oscar Robertson with the Cincinnati Royals, and he told them, you guys got to have a game plan for the future. And, you know, Junior took it to heart and got into to Wendy's, and I was wrong. He had 440 of them, and he went on to have a Coca-Cola distributing company. He bought Ebony. He bought Jet as a player. He was president of the Players Association. And I don't know of a nicer guy. Sad day for me.
Yeah, no, definitely our thoughts to Junior Bridgman's family. His number was retired by the Milwaukee Bucks, his number two. He played 9 years for the Bucks and 12 years in the NBA, his number two being retired by the Milwaukee Bucks. So rest in peace to Junior Bridgman. As we move on to Warriors-related news, we'll start with this. It is looking good that Jonathan Kuminga could potentially play Thursday against the Sacramento Kings. He has missed 31 games with that ankle sprain, a bad one he suffered in early January against the Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Slater reporting that he's expected to return Thursday night against the Kings. Now, he still has to go through the necessary final checkpoints. He has to go through tomorrow's practice, so there's no official word yet, but it's looking good that this Jonathan Kuminga absence is coming to an end.
You know, Kev, we were talking about Junior Bridgman. He was one of the premier sixth man in his era. And here you've got Kuminga in this role. And he's very young. And I hope he doesn't press. Just come out and play and be who you are. Let the game come to you. You're playing with great guys, and they'll help you. Trust your players, your coaches, management, and ownership. You know, he's playing for a contract. Sometimes that makes guys press a little bit. And he's got to believe in the Warriors. And he can be a tremendous shot in the arm for this team. As well as they're playing, he can take them to another level. He really can. That's how talented he is. And I'm just hoping it works for him. Kev, you and I have talked about this. What is it, 30-plus games? Sometimes they say it's better to have a break than a bad sprain. And this is a classic example.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how he's able to come out if he indeed does play Thursday, but that's what it's looking like right now per Anthony Slater. If it's not Thursday, it's going to be very soon. Of course, he has to go through tomorrow's practice and stuff. Steve Kerr has basically alluded to as much, but he's probably going to be coming off the bench.
Yeah.
When, and you mentioned to, at least to start his return. And with how well the starting five has been playing recently, even with Pajemski getting hurt, then you just sub Quinn Poston for him. You don't want to change too many things, but obviously you need the shot in the arm that Kuminga can provide you.
Well, this lineup, boy, is making sweet music. They really are.
Yeah.
You and I have been singing the song about Moody all year long, and gosh, he's getting close to averaging double figures.
Yeah.
And what the heck is the record when he starts? It's crazy.
16-1.
That's unbelievable. And this guy Post, this is amazing what's going on with this guy. And I don't care if he's not finishing around the hoop. He allows the Warriors to play a certain way on the offensive end. And we call it five out. And instead of pick and roll, he pick and pops. And gosh darn it, he can make those. He competes. He's got a little nastiness to him. I like that about him. In time, he'll finish in the paint a little bit better. I just want him to defensive rebound and keep doing what he's doing. And I just he's been embraced by his teammates. It's great to see. So I fitting Kuminga in that role, I think, is perfect. And all it's going to do is elevate the roster. You brought out the point with Podzimski and Buddy and Post, and I'm probably in Looney. You're talking now. You're deep. You are deep.
Yep.
And, boy, I'm excited. The more I look at the standings, the more optimistic I'm getting.
Yeah, we're going to do a little deep dive in the standings as the show goes on. But Jonathan Kuminga, when he does return, he's returning to a team that has been playing very well as of late, despite not really even shooting the ball that well. Like, they had been 17th in the NBA in three-point field goal percentage since the Jimmy Butler trade, just around 34%. They were somewhere around 17th, something like that, in the NBA. And the talk had kind of been just wait until the shooting comes around. Well, Saint, last night the shooting came around in a big way as the Dubs hit 21 threes in that 10-point win over Portland.
You and I have talked about this many a night. If you get 20-plus threes made, you got a heck of a chance to win. They only shot 41. Now, that's quite a bit. But 21 for 41, that's just great. And there's a certain guy that could break a record here Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, he breaks a record every time he makes another three. Of course, we're talking about Stephen Curry. He's breaking his own record. We'll get to 4K in a little bit because he just needs two more threes to get there. Very likely he gets it done against the Kings on Thursday night. But Steve Kerr said this after the game: when we knock down a bunch of threes from guys other than Steph, we're going to be really hard to beat. And Steph hit 5 threes, so that means the rest of the team hit 16. I mean, Buddy Hield went 6 for 9. GP2 tied his career high with 4 made threes. Moses Moody was hitting threes. Quentin Post hit 3 threes. Yeah, I mean, they were close to unstoppable from beyond the arc last night.
Well, I love Steve's honesty. He said, "Do you think anybody's going to go out there and guard Gary Payton?" And he's right. I mean, they're going to sag back on him and help on Curry and, you know, make him a driver. I love that guy. The guys in the locker room must love him. I just love his big smile and how hard he plays. And, you know, I love the play in the fourth quarter where Draymond was coming down and he was on the right wing and tomahawked a dunk. And is he more than 6'3"?
No.
I don't think so. Boy, he's got serious hops. And, you know, we've talked about the threes with Buddy. You know, sometimes they're going in, sometimes they're not. But I just feel like with the addition of Jimmy Butler, all of these role guys, I'm not worried about Draymond and Steph, those role guys' games are growing and emerging because of his quality play. He doesn't force stuff. He just plays the right way. And good things happen when he's got the ball. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, Kev? You're knocking down threes, and then you get to talking about free throws and gosh, you know, they hadn't had many. And now they're up around the top.
Yeah.
And then, you know, led by him. And I've been a big guy on 30 assists. I swear when they get 30 assists and keep those turnovers below 15, boy, that's just beautiful basketball, as good as anybody plays in the entire league. So, you know, there's a lot of positives going on.
Well, they did have quite a few turnovers last night, 18, but 35 assists. So they've cleared that benchmark by quite a bit. Now, you're talking about how Jimmy Butler kind of raises the tide of all the complimentary pieces on this team. Going back to GP2, since the Jimmy Butler trade, he's averaging 9.5 points per game. And this is a guy who's not needed for his scoring. He was averaging like 5.2 before the trade. I mean, he's had a lot of double-figure scoring games. He goes for the career-high 26 last night. And you alluded to this quote from Steve Kerr after the game. Let's hear the quote, and then you can react to it, Saint, about how Steve Kerr is saying everyone's going to guard GP2 the same way.
Everyone's going to guard Gary the same way. They're going to sit off of him and sit in the paint or double Steph. And so he's going to be open from the three-point line every game. So tonight, we had him handling the ball quite a bit to initiate the offense, and then he would, you know, receive it on the back end because they were overplaying everybody else. So it was just a product of their defense.
Steve's telling you the truth, my friends, and I got to tell you, that's any coach. He's going to draw up his game plan like that. You know, you got to play off and make those guys drive the ball and attack the rim, and you got your shot blockers there, and then you have more help on Steph. But, you know, he made them pay. I'm looking at Portland, and I didn't even think they'd get going this good, Kev. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
That late in the game, they had a great comeback. They're tough. They're young.
They are.
They compete. And they're doing this. And what was, you helped me, Scoot Henderson was like a top three pick, something like
number
that?
Number three overall pick in 2023. Many thought he was going to go number two.
And I got to tell you, Chauncey, I can remember his journey as a player. I mean, he played in a lot of places, and then he found a home in Detroit. So I'm sure his patience and his experience dealing with this young guy has helped. And, those two guys, Simmons and Sharp, they can knock you for 30 in just a wink of the eye. And so credit to them. You play them in San Antonio now the rest of the way. You may get a win, but it's going to be hard-earned because those guys are going to play hard. Whereas Utah, they got more guys in the Wasatch Mountains taking a hike than they do playing.
Yeah. With respect to Scoot Henderson, and I'm a Scoot Henderson apologist, I saw him when he was 17 years old light up the Santa Cruz Warriors for 31 points in a G League game and lead G League Ignite, who did not win a lot of games, to a victory at Kaiser Permanente Arena. You got to give these guys time. You can't just say, oh,
yes,
he's a bust or he's not living up to the hype when the kid is 20, 21 years old. For example, because Chauncey Billups is his head coach, Chauncey was considered a bust for the first four or five years of his career. Really wasn't until he got to like his fourth team in Minnesota that he started to turn things around. And then it wasn't until he got to Detroit that became, Mr. Big Shot Billups or whatever his nickname was. He didn't become an all-star until his ninth year in the NBA. And then he became a five-time all-star. So let's cool the jets on the Scoot Henderson slander just a little bit. But time for a break. We'll come on back with some more talk over the win over the Portland Trailblazers. We'll do that ticket giveaway and taking your calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound. Look, stop that, chicken. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
The WNBA is coming to Chase Center in May. The Valkyries inaugural season presented by Kaiser Permanente kicks off May 16th. Learn more at valkyries.com. Well, folks, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. If you're caller number 7, you'll get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on. And we'll be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. And, of course, if you just want to talk shooty hoop with the same myself, 888-957-9570. A couple of more notes from that win over Portland. First off, I wanted to get this stat in. This is from Monty Poole's post-game article. Gary Payton II has played 184 games with Golden State. It was the first time in his career he led the team in field goal makes and field goal attempts. So, cool number there from Monty Poole. And then, Gary, you were talking about this before the game, about how Portland made a nice run in the second half, cut a 19-point lead to 4. But I'm curious, did you feel like the Warriors were ever in danger? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. Pre-Jimmy, I would have said, uh-oh, this is trouble. Not now. This team's got a belief, a confidence level, a look on Steph Curry's face. Now, we got this. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And I just love watching that. It reminds me of the old days with the great teams in the championship years. You know, just guys are, they're just playing, and they know their role. And it's just great basketball to watch.
Yeah, speaking of a couple of those role players, Buddy Buckets had a 20-point game last night. The Warriors are 11-0 now when he scores 19, and 13-1 when he scores at least 18. He had 6 threes last night, and you could tell him he was in his zone. I mean, one of the bigger plays of the game, when he rips Anthony Simons and then just drills a pull-up transition 3, you could tell he was feeling good.
Well, you're happy for him, because I read a great thing this week about how he just loves to stay after practice and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And, you know, that feels good, man, when that ball's going tickling the twine. And then I also was reading about Jimmy, how he's got guys staying late and working on things and helping them, the little points of emphasis. And you know what? That shows me a team that wants to be together, that loves the game, and this isn't hard work. They're getting a lot of joy.
Yeah, that they are really getting a lot of joy recently, and the guy who plays with the most joy is Stephen Curry. Now at 3,998 career threes after another 5 on Monday. I mean, he was 5-11 from deep against the Blazers. It was really like 5-8 because those last 3 he took with the game kind of well decided were just heaves to try to get to 4K. And, of course, Steph can make some of those shots. They didn't go in late against the Blazers. But just think about it. 4,000 made threes for a career. He's going to surpass that out on Thursday, almost certainly against the Sacramento Kings, and it's more than 4,600 made threes if you include all of his playoff made threes. It's just incredible.
It is. You know, I was watching the NBA today, and Windhorst was talking about 5 things that were, you know, maybe never going to be surpassed, and it wasn't one of them. But I'm going to have a hard time believing that somebody's going to break this. This is an amazing achievement. You know, I can say that you and I could sit on an NBA bench and tell guys to just go out there with no defense and let's see how many threes you can make in 2 hours. And his record would be safe, and there's no defense being played. It's just phenomenal. I'm excited to watch Thursday's game, because I want to see him break this record. And then the big debate was whether, well, can he hit 5,000? You know, that'd be like 300 a year for 3 more years. And I'm like, hey, easy here. You know, they were chatting about the different ways that he does it. And, you know, just straight off the bounce and then playing in the pick and roll and then relocating and you name it. He just has that ability to move with and without the ball and create space to get great shots.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching that same segment on NBA today that you were saying. And like, all right, there's 37, 28, 17 more games. Say he averages 3 made threes, which is actually, no, put him at 4 made threes with the number of threes. So 68 more threes. Say he's going to, we'll round it a little bit to 4,070. All right, 4,070 after the end of this year. If he plays three more full seasons, that's 310 made threes per season. He's at 250-something made threes this year, so he's going to finish around. If he plays the rest of the season, he's likely going to finish around 310 made threes this year. So if he keeps that pace up, basically, for three more seasons, that the number of threes he's made this year, he's going to get to 5,000.
I just hope we're around to watch it. I love it. People saying, "Coach, what are you doing?" And I said, "If you need me, I'm on the couch. When the Warriors are playing, I'm right there with my remote. I might have a bottle of red. I'll be watching three teams. I'll be watching the Warriors, I'll be watching the Kings, and I'll be watching the Lakers." And
there you go. No doubt
about it, I got the clicker moving.
Well, it was a pretty win from an offensive standpoint on Monday night over Portland. It was a gritty win over the Detroit Pistons on Saturday. I mean, there were some quirks in this game. The fire alarm goes off at Chase Center. There's no PA or music for 10 minutes or so. There's 77 combined free throws. It was a super physical game. And I was going through this 12-2 stretch since Jimmy's been a part of the team. And because this is a game where I'm like, oh, they definitely lose this game if Jimmy Butler wasn't here, in the pre-Jimmy Butler era. Yeah. And to me, this was the sixth game that I think they could have or would have lost if they didn't have Jimmy Butler. I'd start with the game at Chicago, his first game, because they got down 24 points in the second half. As Steph Curry famously said earlier this year, we just aren't built to come back from big deficits. That was pre-Jimmy. At Houston, when they nearly gave away a big lead. At Orlando, at the Knicks, at Brooklyn, and this one.
Well, I 200% agree with you. And it's the biggest change of any team in the NBA after the trade deadline. It's really amazing. And I'll tell you what, you got a lot of people talking around the league, you don't want to play the Warriors in the playoffs. When you got Jimmy, and you got Steph, and you got Draymond, and then Loons has a ton of playoff experience. Boy, you got guys that know how to play the game in the right way to win playoff games. And boy, I just when you talk about that game, that was a playoff game. And give, I'm going to call him Young Bickerstaff. He's done a great job there, and he's changed the culture. They look like the old Pistons. That John Duren, is that his first name, John?
Jalen Duren.
Oh, my gosh. He might be as wide as an 18-wheeler. Holy moly, is he strong. And then you got Stewart.
He is.
With the best nickname in the league, Beef Stew. And Cunningham is just going to get better and better and better. You know, when they get consistent perimeter guys around them, watch out. The additions of Harris and Hardaway have really helped the locker room. And they're doing all of this without Ivy. And that guy Beasley, I don't think he's got a big contract. And boy, he's a key piece for them. In the East, I wouldn't care to play them. Maybe they don't have enough confidence, but boy, they're going to compete.
Yeah, I mean, they're safely in the sixth seed. They won again tonight. They're 37-29, and like seven is like three games under 500. I think they have like a five and a half game lead over the Hawks for the seventh seed right now.
Awesome.
So they're going to go from like 13-69 or 14-68, whatever it was last year, to not even playing in the play-in tournament. I mean,
awesome.
it is just a huge
just awesome
turnaround that J.B. Bickerstaff has undertaken this year. All right, so we talked about just kind of the generic stature of that game, or in general the stature of being able to win a game in that kind of fashion. Draymond Green hits the go-ahead three in the final minute to make it 110-108. And I saw this tweet from Tim Kawakami quoting Marcus Thompson saying, what does Thompson say? Draymond misses them and misses them until he has to make one. And boy, did he have to make that three to deliver a W, and that's exactly what he did against Detroit.
There's a lot of truth in that. You know, he's like Peyton. They're not going to come out and guard him. and he gets open shots, and he looks at the ball, and he lines up the seams, and gets his feet set, and, you know, bonk, 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 and then we get in the last 3 minutes, swish, swish, swish. That's what great players do. That's what happens in this league.
Yeah, so I was just, I was reading this Marcus Thompson article, and I think, like, over the last, I don't know however many games, but he had been like 23% from three, I think since maybe January or something, because he got off to such a hot start from downtown. He was living above 40% for a good chunk of the first part of the season. Then he came back down to earth. He had a good three-point shooting season last year, and he's been hovering around 32, 33%, but hit a monster three. And then Moses Moody had a monster steal on Cade Cunningham, who was his high school teammate. And many people were saying that team, which also had Scotty Barnes and Dayron Sharp,
mackerel,
they had four
really?
First-round draft picks on the same high school team.
Wow.
Was like the best high school basketball team in the history of high school basketball in the United States. Then Cooper Flagg's team last year might have given them a run for their money. Some people are saying Cooper Flagg's Montverde team last year. Actually, that coach just left to do Spire, to coach Spire Academy, which is where LaMelo Ball played one season in Ohio. But Moses Moody, you were talking about how he has elevated his play recently. He's up to 9.8 points per game on the season. I'd love to see him get to 10. And he's shooting also a career-high three-point field goal percentage, 38%, on a career-high attempts per game, 4.4. And he makes all these hustle plays, can lock down a guy. I mean, that steal on Cade Cunningham was mega. Just absolutely huge in that time of the game.
Well, again, I mentioned Harrison Barnes before, and think of his role with the team when he was a young guy. And it reminds me a little bit of Moody. Just, you know, the old saying, my man Bill Belichick, do your job. And this young guy has figured out what it is that he can do now to help this team. He plays on both ends. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's a quality shooter. He can defend. He's got a lot of things going for him. I think as he gets older, stronger, it's just going to get better and better for him. And I think this was a terrific move by the coaching staff. Now, maybe some of it came about because of injury with Kuminga and whatever. But it's just worked out great. And again, it's like I said before, you're putting the puzzle together. Well, the key piece to this whole puzzle has been Jimmy. And Steph Curry is smiling and having as much fun now as during maybe the first title run. He looks so re-energized, and I don't know that I've seen Draymond transition better than he is right now. These guys they're clicking. And maybe we've been spoiled in the past, but for where this team was to where they are now, boy, I've got nothing but high praise.
Yeah, it's been incredible to watch. I mean, they're 12-1 with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. They have completely turned their season around. And another one of those guys who has just really upped his play is Gui Santos. And he had one of the best games of his career. Something about playing Detroit, right? Because he came onto the scene really this year in that game at Detroit where he had 13 points, making all sorts of hustle plays. I mean, 15.6 rebounds in this game on Saturday against the Pistons. And look, once this roster becomes fully healthy, there's going to be fewer minutes to go around for everyone. Yep. But I think it's going to be very hard to take minutes away from Gui Santos.
Well, Kev, you're the resident professor on these G League guys. I didn't know much about him. The first thing that sticks out to me is how hard he plays. And I love his energy. And then you got Spencer, who, when he gets a chance to play, does a heck of a job. And, you know, he's got a heck of a personality. How about his brother last night getting into it with Kevin Durant?
And, I saw that.
Yeah. And then Post, you know, you had said good things about him, and look what he's done. I'm probably forgetting somebody, but, you know, that's the beauty of having this G League team so close. And these guys are all working in the same kind of system, and it's a beautiful thing when these guys get a chance and they take the opportunity and run with it.
Want to give a big shout out to Duke in Pleasanton, our tickets winner. Again, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game all year long here, our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. If you want to talk with Sane and I about Warriors basketball, 888-957-9570. And that's where we'll head right now, out to the phone lines, to Big Al in San Francisco. What's up, Big Al?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, Al. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just wanted to make a comment. You know, look, we all have seen this reversal of fortune with the Warriors ever since Jimmy Butler came to California. And we've all talked about different reasons why. Better passing, better floor spacing, more foul shooting. But there's another thing that's it's a trickle-down effect that I think is important to note, that whenever with this lineup that we play now and the rotation and so forth, it seems to me that whenever we have G on the court, Gary Payton II on the court, or Moody or any one of those three, how come it seems to me that the Warriors get every single hustle play? They get every loose ball. They get every scrappy rebound. They make every scrappy steal. And one of those three guys always seems to be on the court at any one time. So it was a 48-minute game, and it's a closer game, so we're not substituting towards the end of the bench. Well, those guys are on the court, and especially Santos is making hustle plays that we haven't seen or seen in a long time from anybody, let alone expected from a player that couldn't get off the bench the first 30 games of the year. Gary, you know, Gary's a great hustle player. We all know that from the dunker's position. And Moses seems to spend nearly as much time on the floor getting loose balls as he does in the corner shooting threes. And I think that that's a big component of the change that this team has been able to make too. Better spacing and other guys getting to play and really being able to show their work.
Well, Big Al, I'm going to praise you again. Big Al from San Francisco. That's like Big Al years ago from Chicago, if anybody knows my gist. now, I am going to share with you, you're a purist, Al. You're like Kevin and I, and I get excited about plays like that. If you love this game, you love seeing the guys just giving that ultimate effort, winning those 50-50 balls. And I'm going to tell you, I just believe in this kind of stuff. If you're consistently doing that, if you're winning the 50-50 ball, if you're getting the long rebounds, yeah, you're not real big, but if you gang rebound, that takes effort and tenacity. And when you do that, what's your reward? You get in transition, and you get early offense. And that's been a signature of this team for a long, long time, and it's come back, and it's a thing you just want to hug and put your arms around. It's a great thing.
Yeah, Big Al, thanks for the call. There was a name that popped into my mind, as you said. We haven't seen hustle plays made like this from Gee in a Warriors uniform, someone in a Warriors uniform in a long, long time. And the name that popped in my mind was Brian Cardinal. They're completely different players. The custodian.
Wow.
Eventually won a title with the Mavericks in 2011 over that LeBron James and Dwayne Wade-led Miami Heat team. But Brian Cardinal would dive on the deck, would make all these hustle plays, and with all due respect to Brian Cardinal, and I loved him as a Warrior, Gui Santos is a better player. He can just do a lot more on the floor than Brian Cardinal. Cardinal was a hustle guy, and he was a hustle guy. Gui Santos is a hustle guy who's got some ball skills, who's got some panache, and can absolutely cut and move without the basketball just the way the Steve Kerr Warriors like to do it.
Now, I have to toot the horn here. I was the guy who signed Brian. And, oh, man, was I a fan of his. How can you have a better nickname than the custodian? And, Kev, he knew he wasn't a great player, and he went out there and just did all what you said. And his teammates loved it. And, of course, you and I both know that he played for Gene Cady and back at Purdue. Yep. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you weren't a soft guy if you played at Purdue.
No.
And that's a great comparison. I love it.
Yeah, so the wins on this homestand, they're 2-0 in the seven-game homestand. They're 37-28. They're a half game up on Minnesota in sixth. They're three games back of Houston for fifth. How far, Saint, can the Warriors climb? Because you look ahead of Houston, the Lakers aren't going to have LeBron for a little bit with that groin injury. They're so the Lakers are 40-23, so they're four games back of the Lakers, and the Lakers do have the tiebreaker there. Memphis is going to be without Jaren Jackson Jr. for a little bit. He sprained his ankle. I mean, the teams ahead of them aren't super healthy. The Warriors are getting healthy. It's interesting to see.
Well, you did a great breakdown, and I don't know that the Clippers are going to catch. They were losing tonight against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get back in front of, say, eight, maybe at the best. You made a good note about the T-Wolves. Gobert's coming back, and I am shocked that the T-Wolves are 9-0 since Randle came back. That shocks me. The Rockets, I love the youth, the talent. I'm just a little suspect on them. And you mentioned the Lakers' injury. The Grizzlies, I don't know how long Jackson will be out, but that's big. That's a big, big loss. So, you know, I'm changing my tune. I think last week I was up to 6 with some optimism to 5. Now I'm saying 5 with optimism to 4.
Ooh, okay.
I'm moving this thing. I've been looking at their schedule, and this homestand is huge. They took care of business on the road. You know, they can really make this happen.
They can. Now, on the flip side, you mentioned how Minnesota's been playing so well since the Julius Randle returned to the lineup. I mean, the Warriors aren't clear of the play-in tournament still. They're only half game up on
that's
Minnesota.
True. That's the rear-view mirror.
Yeah. I do have to mention that Minnesota, in their next 6 games, play the Orlando Magic, who just can't win a game seemingly right now.
Without anymore. Suggs, they've gone downhill.
Yeah. Completely downhill. They're playing the Utah Jazz, which they aren't exactly trying to win games, and they have the Pelicans twice. The Clippers in their next 4 games, including tonight, they were down 16 against the Pelicans. They're down 5 now, late third quarter.
Come on, Kev.
they also play Miami, Atlanta, and the Hornets, teams that aren't exactly tearing the cover off the ball either. So they got to watch out.
Yeah. And I don't want Greg to hear this, but the guy who has the toughest schedule is the Lakers.
Yeah.
They're in trouble. This is a bad time to be having to play 6 games in 8 nights. And last night, Reeves couldn't have played in the G League. Terrible. And they blew a game against the Nets.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for them. Well, Dub Nation, finish out the regular season strong with a buzzer-beater mini-plan. Get the Wild West Pack, which includes matchups against the Nuggets and the Spurs. Call 888-GSW-HOOP or visit Warriors.com to learn more. We'll take one more timeout. Come on back, take some more of your calls, 888-957-9570. Look ahead to some big games on this homestand and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7. Join us live at Chase Center this Saturday, March 15th, as the Dubs face the New York Knicks, presented by CarMax. All fans will get a Warriors splash towel. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com. Call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. And speaking of the Knicks, this homestand, the next 4 games, it's about to get real. The Sacramento Kings, the Knicks, the Denver Nuggets and the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Nuggets and Bucks are part of a back-to-back before they finish up with the Toronto Raptors. So we're going to learn a little more about this team. They've had some good wins in this 12-1 stretch with Butler in the lineup. They also have not exactly played a murderer's row of opponents, so it's going to get a little tougher here.
Yeah, you know what, Kev? This might be the toughest part that's left. As you noted, it's been a little nice over the last couple weeks, and it must finish nice because what have they got, the third toughest schedule the rest of the way? Sacramento lost a heartbreaker last night against the Knicks. Wow, Leonard made a great shot. they were tired after a back-to-back, after getting beat the night before. So the Knicks capitalized even though Brunson didn't play. Now, the Knicks are physical. Anunoby is a horse. I really, really like him. So with him and Bridges, they can really defend. And, you know, Brunson being out, that's big. And you got to capitalize on an opportunity there. The Kings are very capable of playing some terrific basketball. You know, Sabonis is back. Monk is back. They've got Valanciunas now. And their dilemma is just consistent defense. But they've got a nice team. They can score a lot of points. And then you mentioned Denver, who bounced back after in a back-to-back with OKC and played terrific. And I would say the Joker's playing pretty darn well. Yep. And then Milwaukee, you know, they've been playing darn well over the last 15, 20 games. Lillard and Adekunpo are really playing well together. And so that, you're right, that is a very, very tough schedule, but they're at home and you want to jump on it.
And watching the Bucks and Pacers right now on TNT, the Pacers leading by 5 with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter there, speaking of Milwaukee. But with respect to the Sacramento Kings, here's the importance of this game, and Anthony Slater laid it out in his post-game article last night. If the Warriors win this one, they could get up 4.5 games on the Kings with 16 to play, which would highly increase their chances of finishing no worse than eighth. And the importance of finishing eighth in the play-in tournament as a worst-case scenario is that you get two cracks at getting into the playoffs, and you get to host that second game if you don't win the first one, as opposed to being a ninth where you're going to have to win two in a row and one on the road.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. And Yeah, you know, I think 9 and 10 is basically locked up. You know, the Mavs and Suns are battling for 10. And maybe, I don't know, if you want to put the Kings and the Clippers battling for 8 and 9. So this is great. This Western Conference is amazing to me.
Yeah, it has been a really intriguing season with respect to standings watching. The Pelicans have an 8-point lead going into the fourth quarter on the Clippers, by the way. So you put on your Pel caps right now if you're a Warriors
yes, sir.
Fan. And if the Clippers lose that one, they will be two games clear of the L.A. Clippers, the Warriors. So the first game out of the All-Star break kind of showed us just how dangerous the Warriors can be.
Yeah.
Against with Jimmy Butler. They played Sacramento, destroyed them out of the All-Star break, 132-108 in Sacramento, and was the big run in the second quarter with Steph on the bench that really flipped that game. And you got to feel like the Warriors have all the confidence in the world that they can do this to a Sacramento Kings again, a team that, again, as you mentioned, lost by 29 to the Knicks last night without Jalen Brunson after losing at the buzzer in OT to the Clippers the night before against Kawhi Leonard.
Kev, I'm always intrigued with matchups, and the best player over the last 3 weeks for the Kings clearly has been DeRozan. Wow. I mean, that mid-range game is amazing, and I would be intrigued to see Jimmy Butler matched up with him. That would be a heck of a matchup. I look at those guys, and I think they probably expect more from where they are, and we'll see how this goes over the next 3-4 weeks. Because, like I said, you know, Sabonis is back, and you know that's huge for them. I look at them, and I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I just think they should be a little bit better than they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of head-scratching losses. You go back to that game against the Pistons at the end of December where they're up three.
Geez.
They get a foul, a three-point shooter on a four-point
play. That was the downfall of Mike Brown.
That was the last game Mike Brown coached. Yes,
yes
you're
sir.
Exactly right,
Zay.
So they've had some tough ones. I mean, the loss to the Clippers that we were just talking about. I mean, you could say the same about the Warriors before Jimmy Butler. They've just kind of been bumbling slightly above 500, slightly below 500. They're 33-31 right now. I mean, if you're the Warriors, this is a game you absolutely have to have. You get that one, you feel pretty good at no worse finishing in eighth place. So if you take care of business, that gets you to 38-28 heading into your game against the Knicks on Saturday. Mentioned Jalen Brunson hurting his ankle. That happened against the Lakers in an overtime game on Thursday. And Miles McBride, though, this is a guy they love.
Yeah.
And by they, I mean Tom Thibodeau and yep. Knicks fans love this guy. And he had 21 points in that win. I was reading this this article from James Edwards of The Athletic on Miles McBride. Over the first 80 threes he made this year, 42 were swishes. And
really?
He practices making swishes in the off season. He says, "I get mad when it hits the rim." He seems like an interesting dude, but so no Jalen Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns should play. He missed the game at Madison Square Garden against the Warriors due to personal reasons. Someone close to him dealing with cancer, I believe, passed away. But should play on Saturday. So that's going to be a heavy handle for the Warriors. Karl Anthony Towns averaging 24 points and 13 rebounds this year.
Yeah, and they're going to need all of that. You know, McBride, a West Virginia guy, I've got a lot of friends back there. He's done a great job, you know, and they decided to keep him and let Grimes go because they didn't think they'd get a contract done with Grimes. And, you know, we saw what he did last week or the week before. So, he's done a great job stepping in there. And, geez, the lefty, Payne, who used to be in Phoenix, he's got a pretty ugly shot, but he knocked down a couple of threes last night for him. And, boy, I'll tell you what, though, your heart and soul is out with Brunson not playing. Game he played when he got hurt against the Lakers, holy moly. MJ she left the room. She couldn't listen to me anymore.
Sometimes I'm glad I live alone because there are things that get thrown across the room if something's not going the way I want it to. I'll just put it like that. But let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Thursday, the Kings are in town, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call, presented by AMPM. Then Saturday against the Knicks, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time, presented by CarMax. Monday against the Nuggets, presented by Chevron, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Tuesday against the Bucks on the 18th, presented by Coinbase, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. And then they wrap up the homestand of seven games against the Toronto Raptors Thursday, March 20th. That is Latino Heritage Night, presented by Modelo, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. And Sam, we got 3 minutes left on this one, so I figured we should mention that Steph Curry has recently been named the assistant GM of the Davidson basketball programs, along with his wife Aisha, assistant GM Davidson and Davidson soccer alum Matt Berman and Dawn and Erica Berman. They are forming an eight-figure NIL fund. He'll advise men's basketball and women's basketball players. And this is kind of similar to what we've seen here. Andrew Luck being named the GM of Stanford football. I believe Ron Rivera's been named the GM of Cal football. He's getting back involved with Cal football. So we're seeing these GM positions come up more and more now with NIL involved in college athletics.
Only Steph Curry. I tell people that us normal people have 24 hours in our day. I think he has 48 hours. He must have a lot of hands, people helping him out, because the guy is amazing what he does in the community, all he does in Oakland and in the city. And, you know, he's very fond of Davidson with Bobby McKillop, a great coach back there, and his experience. And for him to step up like this, this is just typical him. But, boy, Kev, I wish I could tell you I had a little feel on where this NIL's going. It's a phenomenal situation. It's like the Wild West, you know.
Exactly,
we don't have any rules
like.
Or laws.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going for it. And, you know, they play in a great conference, Davidson. It's a high academic conference. And that is so cool for that school, for Steph and Aisha to do that.
Yeah, no, really cool to see. Well, that'll just about do it. We do want to say, I guess, happy five-year anniversary. I guess that's one way of putting it. When Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID and the NBA entered its COVID era. Hopefully that is something we don't have to live through ever again. But big... Yeah, big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, Marika Kleto, and R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things. For the saintly one, I'm Kevin Dana. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.